Now we come to more deeper, more sorrowful topic still. So we are in sharing the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is according to the ancient Middle Ages, seven sorrows. When our Lord died on the cross, starts the solitude of Mary. Yes. It's something that is not anymore in the seven sorrows devotion of today. It's gone. Suddenly, the solitude of Mary is not even mentioned. No? It's a pity. One of the great saints said that the solitude of Mary, her 25 years with St. John, the reason of those 25 years was as for Our Lady to win the graces that we need in our own solitude, especially for this time, for the end of times, that she will be winning those graces for us in times of darkness and solitude. This is those times we are living through. Because the graces for her children that our Lord wanted St. John and herself to live together. So what she did for St. John, she did it for us. So she was consoling and strengthening St. John in those 25 years. The absence of our Lord. Also the doctrine and especially the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Our Lady is the one who taught St. John all those things in those 25 years of solitude together. So we are also the same. So we will meditate therefore first the sixth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which corresponds to the second step of her solitude. Which is the stroke of the spear of St. Longinus and also Our Lady receiving into her arms the lifeless body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the few drops of blood which remain in the body of our Lord once he died, have died, our Lord was pleased to shed. That we might understand that he had no more blood to give to us. The injury of that stroke was inflicted on Jesus, but Mary suffered its pain. Christ, our Lord, shared this wound with his mother. He received the insult, but his mother endured the blow, the agony. So was finally the sword of Simeon completely pierced in her heart. Which transpierced her blessed soul in the heart of Jesus, where it always dwelt. Necessarily, yes. So St. Bernard says, the lance which opened his side passed through the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which could never leave her son's heart. This is the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, to enter there through the sword of the Blessed Virgin Mary's sorrows and pain. The Divine Mother herself revealed to St. Bridget the following. When the spear was drawn out, the point appeared red with blood. Then, seeing the heart of my most dear son pierced, it seems to me as if my own heart was also pierced. An angel told the same saint that such were the sufferings of Mary that it was only by a miracle's interposition on the part of God that she did not die. I have to reflect that in the other sorrows, she at least had her son to compassionate her. Our Lord's compassion. But now she has not even him to pity her. This is solitude. The absence of our Lord. I really insist because we are in solitude, because no masses, no priests, no priest. Continue with the point because it's very important. It's the will of God. It's the will of God that we are in the desert, in the solitude, in the sorrows of Mary, dwelling. It's a privilege, but it's... Somebody of you told me, it's true. It's impossible to bear those things, humanly speaking. And precisely, we need the grace of God. And because we need grace, therefore, by experience in the retreat, we have to get rid of sin completely and affection to sin completely in order to fruitfully live in the most sacred heart of Jesus during this crisis in the desert. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. People are discouraged and find refuge in sin. You can see that in Catholics, Novus Ordo Catholics also. Because precisely we don't have the habit of loving the cross, or embracing the cross, or living the cross, or compassionate our Lord, or to think about the evil and the malice of our sins. We don't have that. As I told you, even traditional priests, they don't see a big deal in venial sins. They don't see. It's not a big deal, they say. It's the worst that could happen. A priest who disregards habitually even venial sin is the worst priest possible for you, for us. Because if you don't feel pain when our Lord is buffeted, which is obvious that by faith it happened, therefore we will not be moved to other things. We will not defend our faithful, and especially the priest will not have love for souls, because the love for souls flow from the most sacred heart of Jesus, flow from the sorrows of Mary, and the sorrows of the passion and death. So if you are not sorry for your sins or for venial sins, they will not care about your souls. No. It's a tragedy. You know, it's just to lose sight what is the priesthood. So the priesthood is our Lord living on earth again. Yes, to renew his sacrifice with his mother. In him and through him. Saying Mass every day, in him, through him. You know, with his mother. Therefore, the priest must live in the sacred heart of Jesus, and therefore must live on the cross, the priest. It's unthinkable that the priest will live outside the cross, crucified there. It's unthinkable. So for a priest to claim to say Mass without sacrifice, without abandoned sin, really is the worst that could happen because you represent Christ and you are not given grace because you are not on the cross. So it's a mystery of iniquity, I will say. And especially Novus Ordo. Novus Ordo priesthood is something else. It's to preside the worldly in the tepidity and to approve all the human rights, the human desires, the human sinful activities. Being approved by the priest, lukewarmness. So, it's beyond imagination. So, it's better not to have priests than to have priests like this. I tell you, it's my opinion. This is the Sacred Heart of Jesus saying that. Because it's Jesus on earth. You never will portray Jesus in a sinful, habitual manner, betraying the gospel. Impossible, no? Now you understand why the church doesn't want us to go to prison the mind and the faith, no? The faith. Especially the faith, no? We have the weakness, we are no angels, but we are supposed to be fighting sin and deliberate sin, no? But a priest who deliberates tramples upon faith, you know, I finish. Precisely, this is why it's interdicted, it's suspended at divinity, so he cannot work as a priest, basically. This is why the church doesn't want us to go to their masses, to their sacraments, because he cannot be priest in those conditions. He should not give sacraments, he should not perform the priesthood. Really, after this meditation, you should conclude also that, because it's a question of principles. And people is despair, of course, it's despair because we never had this situation in history. It's never before was so much sin, so much lukewarmness, so much loss of faith, hope, and charity. Sacraments, even loss of priests. For example, you see in the statistics of the Novus Ordo, 40% of the priests got married. Imagine that. O sea, you can imagine, o sea, the disaster. Because even the hierarchy was giving them permission. But you cannot receive permission. O sea, but was just horrible. O sea, because the priesthood is never lost. It's a character printed in the soul. They cannot be deleted, that character. Like confirmation and baptism, they cannot be deleted. Of course, you are suspended at divinis. Yes, it could happen. You cannot you cannot perform priestly office anymore. It happened a lot. For example, a priest in the practice of the church, a priest who will do only one homosexual or pedophile action, only one will be enough to ban him from the priesthood forever. Forever. Until the end of his life. Only one instance will be enough to... You cannot perform your priesthood. Sorry. That was the practice of the church. Eh? And in times... Pius V is the one who said those priests should be death penalty. I mean, death penalty to those priests. Death penalty. Yes. That was Pius V. A priest who does that, one... It's no second chance. Once, death penalty should be given to him. Precisely, it's a disaster. It's a potential harm to souls without imagination. It's tremendous. Tremendous. God himself told Moses, no? To Moses, God said to Moses, anyone with a sin against nature, stone on the spot. Die, stone on the spot. No second chance. No. Of course, he will have time to do a perfect act of contrition, you know, with the help of the elderly. Okay, you are going to die 5 minutes. Let's kneel down. Let's be sorry. Everybody will do the act of contrition. We will speak to you about hell, about, yes, we will prepare you, but you have to die. You cannot be like this in society. This is a real Catholic spirit. Just to tell you, just this traditional circles, I don't want to mention any more names because it's shameless. They have a policy that if a priest commits this kind of mistakes, quote unquote, with no very serious, they just move him to another place, to another country, another city. And keep, yes, and keep working. We know at least 8 cases like that, public cases. They keep working in different countries, maybe different priory. No. It's precisely what we are seeing now. When you see that sin is not a great deal, it's not a great problem, sin is, especially against nature, against faith is worse, no? Against faith is worse. Because you undermine the divinity of our religion. And it's a condition in order to grow in love. So when you are undermining the faith, the worst, of course. Heresies is the worst. And sin. This is why the Inquisition will do a trial, yes, of heretics. If after a few years they will not convert, or they will not really convert, they will be executed, yes. Mm-hmm. But just a parenthesis. The Inquisition was not an institution of the Catholic Church, was not. Mm-hmm. It's a lie, it's a calumny, no. Inquisition was an armed institution of the state. But because the state was working with the Church together, so the Church demanded the state that the priest will be present at the trials. So that the priest will watch, that will be no, that will have mercy and also will have justice and not be twisted. Neither justice, neither mercy will twist, will be proportionate justice, and but also enough mercy to be able to convert it. This is why if you investigate the Inquisition, The trials of those suspects of heresy, of witchcraft, or even homosexuals, those trials lasted 15, 20 years. It's because the Church was waiting. No, we don't burn that person. We expect, we want trial, we want conversion, we want, yes, we isolate that person, we watch upon him, but what to do a trial which is a fair trial, not unjust or immediate without mercy. No. In fact, the Church was very merciful about that. So just remember always that principle: not to see the gravity of sin is precisely the source of the problem in today's world and in tradition. Tradition. I was told many priests, the solution for future vocations and priests is to become monks if they want to become priests. Yes, to become monks. That was the way it was handled in the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, if someone wanted to become a missionary or a diocesan priest, they had to go to the monastery for 3 years. Yes, first. To try his spirituality, to try out his humility, obedience, to learn how to pray, to learn austerity, fasting, to learn discipline, rule, and to start learning Latin, yes, and philosophy. But was 3 years obligatory in the Middle Ages? Because they knew that there's a seminary, knowledge is not enough, of course not. You need many things, not only knowledge, you need more things. You have just knowledge, a seminary which is not really discipline or not have not really rules or virtues to practice. You may be ordained, you may have a great knowledge, but without virtues, without love, without humility, you lost your soul. And you lost the soul of many with you, together with you. You go. So I have been advising the priest, and nobody hears, we are not nobody for them. Really, we are the crazy ones. But you say, I've been advising that to many priests, and they don't hear, but that we should train our future priests in monasteries. They don't have to become monks. They just oblates, incarnated as oblates, so that they will be in a place with a holy rule, with discipline, and to go out for missions, yes. Because our Benedictine congregation is missionary. It's the first missionary congregation in the history and was founded by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and was aimed to these times. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the one who said, this congregation will be, we have the rule of Saint Benedict. We have to tempt, have the poverty of Saint Francis, the knowledge of the Jesuits, the silence of the Cartusians and the austerity of the Trappists. And I will be the novice master and myself. So he was thinking our Lord in these times. No priest, no leadership, state of necessity. Our Lord is the novice master directly. He said, especially what is a state of necessity. So we cannot obey the Pope because he lost the faith. So we declare a state of necessity because we cannot obey the Pope. He's the Pope, but we cannot obey him. Therefore, to whom we obey, the Sacred Heart of Jesus promised that he will handle, lead the Benedictines in this battle. Precisely, this is the state of necessity. He's saying, basically, his congregation is going to be found and will last until the end of will keep the faith until the end of time, is what he said also, this congregation. Mm-hmm. And I will be directly your novice master. Mm-hmm. He didn't say this bishop or this pope, no. I myself directly will lead you. That tells you that our Lord was thinking in this moment. Precisely, we were the only congregation rescued by Archbishop Lefebvre, rescued and adopted. And we started being formed by him, ordained by him himself. Archbishop Lefebvre, yes. In the 70s, we joined Archbishop Lefebvre, his work. Of course, we never were SSPX, we were Benedictines always. No? Means Archbishop Lefebvre became our godfather, no? Embraced us as a father, to lead us and to ordain us. Archbishop Lefebvre is one who said, you Benedictines, yes, will be helped by us. We never will have authority over you because in a state of necessity, we are no popes, so we don't have jurisdiction. We don't rule and govern you, but we can check upon you and we can help you, yes. So it was a big parenthesis, but we continue. Jesus then was taken down from the cross. And St. Alfonso, he prays, saying, O most sacred Virgin, after thou hast given thy Son to the world with so much great love for our salvation, behold, the world now restores him to thee, but, O God, in what state dost thou receive him? So now he quotes the Canticle of Canticles, which says, my son was white and ruddy. So it was a beautiful baby, no? In Christmas Day, given to us. And our Lord is saying, but thou return him to me, blackened with bruises and red. Yes. But red with the wound which thou hast inflicted upon him. He was all fair and beautiful, but now there is no more beauty in him. He saw this figure. His aspect in a more all. Now he excites horror in all who beloved, in all who behold him. Oh, how many swords. San Bonaventure says, pierced the poor soul of Mary. When she received the body of her son from the cross, let us consider the anguish it would cause any mother to receive into her arms the body of her life's son. So here what I want you to meditate is that Our Lady was the only worthy to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ once it was descended from the cross. The apostles, St. Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus, and St. John, they realized by inspiration of the Holy Ghost because the, also the grief of Our Lady. So what happened is that they put three ladders to descend the body. So they first took away the nails from the cross. They placed the nails and the nails on Our Lady's lap. She was the only one to keep them. Mm-hmm. And after they descended the body slowly with blankets down the cross, and they deposited on the arms of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And St. Bridget says that Our Lady told her that Our Lady is the one who closed his eyes. And Our Lady is the one who took, with the help of St. Joseph and Nicodemus, she's the one who pulled the crown of thorns out of the head, yes, herself. But she was the only worthy to do it. So they knew that he's God, the divinity is still in the body. It has to be treated by the most worthy person, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the only one in that moment. Of course, St. John could have done, no? but Our Lady is more dignified, no? Than St. John. St. John as priest, as bishop could do it, no? But Our Lady is the one most worthy, still, much more worthy to do it. So as after that, few thorns remain on the head of Our Lord, inside his skull. You see his skull? Skull?
Skull.
So St. Joseph and St. Nicodemus and John had to bring scissors to pull out the thorns. Mm-hmm. Was one in couple here in the forehead and few in the other parts of the head. But now what is really breathtaking is that Our Lady herself decided to lead the ceremony of anointing the wounds. So she herself wanted to cleanse and to see and to touch each wound. This is very meaningful. And the sorrow, no? Because she knew in her soul and what the price of that wound and the sorrow of that wound and the outrage and what represents that wound, those wounds. So she was helping, she was helped by the others, the women, but she led the ceremony. Touching herself each wound, the head, the feet, the legs, the arms. Also, they went in procession to the sepulchre to be buried, and she was all the way there, contemplating Our Lord. So let's remember that we had to be there, so present in our meditation, but also physically, spiritually, by faith, we had to be there because all these events happen during Mass. You have to remember. All these events happen during Mass, even if we don't see it. So that means that we are obliged to restore, to repair, to cleanse the wounds we have caused in Our Lord by consoling Our Lady, precisely. Fraternal charity towards the others, no? Prayer, penances. So you should include some kind of penances also in your resolutions, no? Is it possible for a Catholic to persevere without penance? It's impossible. Because the body and our inclinations, our scars can be opened in any moment because our old sins, our old habits, our old friends, the internet or the wounds that could inflict upon us easily can be opened again, our scars. So it's why penance is obligatory. Our Lord said, unless you do penance, you equally will perish. No? But you know, it's easier when you are with Our Lady. Remember, this is the Sanctus de Montfort. Everybody should do the consecration and to renew it. And that book has to be read continually also. few words, few paragraphs every day if possible. You know, in this consecration, it's a great consolation because you, each cross, you start living it with Mary. For Mary, through Mary, in Mary, like Mary. So it becomes a great source of joy. It's something that the people in the world, they don't understand, but the greatest source of joy in this life on earth is the cross. Again, the greatest source of joy in this early life is the cross. And why? Because the cross represents the love of our Lord, united with the love of our Lady, and our love together, burning as one sacrifice for the love of each other, in order to be united in heaven one day with all our families. It's a great joy because we know it has an eternal value. And we know that it's united to our Lord and our Lady. So this is the meditation that precisely eventually is going to cause us to hate sin, to have perfect contrition, and to have a fraternal charity, with a heroic fraternal charity, and heroically also carrying our cross and the cross of our family. I tell you something, it's a great grace, Our Lady's meditation of her sorrows, to share. It's good to analyze the life of Our Lady, Our Lord, because each aspect of their life or their life applies to our life, that we may do the same in the same way with them, together with them. If we're in poverty, we know what to do. If we're in persecution, we know what to do. If we're in a journey, we know what to do. If we're with a huge cross, we know what to do. If we are betrayed by our friends, we know what to do. Saint Bernard said, no? He said, the crucifix, our Lord crucified, is my living catechism. He said, I just had to watch our Lord crucified, and I learned what I had to do. To practice every virtue and to undergo every torment or every cross. Everything there. Also in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, no? Especially. And Our Lady said the following also, beautiful, she said, that she will give us access to the most sacred heart of Jesus. It's a grace that she wants to give to us, to have access to the sentiments of our Lord Jesus Christ, to his meekness, his humility, his love. She has the keys, she entered there. She has been living, she never stopped living there, in fact. No? So if we are faithful to Mary in our practices, our consecration, we will live in the most sacred heart of Jesus. We will have heaven on earth, but with the cross. It was the greatest joy. The greatest joy on earth. You know, people know Sordo, when they hear these words, they say, you are crazy. You are crazy, they say. They say, for me, it's the opposite. For me, the cross is the only thing that bothers me. Suffering is the... I cannot believe, they say, I cannot believe that God wants us to suffer. That's what they say. No, God wants us to be happy. So, oh no, you start from nothing there, from scratches. You have to start with catechism. Because it's the pinnacle, it's the summit of joy, of love, of hope, of everything is virtues. It's the crucifixion, it's the Monte Calvary, it's the highest point. It's a triumph of our Lord was on the cross against death, sin, against the devil, against pride, against all devices, against all sins. It's on the cross. It's the opposite of what Francis the Pope says, no? Francis the Pope says two times in two sermons, maybe more, we don't know, but at least two times he said, He took the stitches of the cross out of his pocket. He showed to everybody, "Look what I have here. It's the stations of the cross. This is the history of the failure of God." We said that like we hate it. Again, I tell you, this is the history of the failure of God. Wow, yes, yes, exactly, exactly. We have to do that. You have to sign ourselves because only the devil could say something like that, you know. Yes. It's terrible, horrifying. Only the devil could be, only the devil could say something like that, yes. It's true, it is literal what happened. So we stop here and next meditation.